This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together, we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. Well, it's a new day, and I've got a new guest, good friend of mine, Bill, William Pressey the IV, but I call him Bill. Is that all right, Bill, for the interview?
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Bill has been is another golf professional, good friend of mine. He started his career in golf back in the early 90s, and he was one of the first graduates of the San Diego Golf Academy in Arizona, and I happened to have been down there training and teaching, and I'm surprised we didn't pass each other, but he's pursued a teaching and coaching career for over 25 years. He's played professionally for a while, and he became the director of instruction and a master club fitter for Golf Tech for many years. And I guess Bill's always had a passion for inventing and kind of has that kind of a mentality, and he spent almost 3 years working on and finally developing the first and only true lie angle balance putter. Bill's now up in Reno. And welcome to the show, Bill. How are you today?
Doing great. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Listen, I brought you on today, Bill, because, you know, I picked up my putter about 6 months ago, and I got to tell you, I'm really enjoying playing the game again. You know, putting's always been one of my biggest frustrations, and I think for a lot of our listeners who have putting woes, so to speak, and I think it happens to a lot of us old guys, I believe you'll be fascinated by this amazing new concept that Bill developed in putting. It's on the it's been recently on the Golf Digest hot list. And Bill, the Directed Force Reno putter is according to you, is the first putter to be designed that's lie angle balance. And why don't you kind of explain how this all came about and what that actually means, Bill?
Well, I guess through a lot of years doing club repair, you know, we have putter bending machines and, you know, different strokes for different folks. And so one of the things I noticed, I have one of these, I call it a Z-Factor putting track. You have the adjustable rails and adjustable arcs on it. And it's got a little track that magnetizes to the face of the putter. And several years ago, before I invented lie angle balancing, I noticed that when I took a flat lie angle putter, I take my putters and mess around with them anywhere from 66 up to 74. And so when I put the putter on the track with what you call a sharp or steep rail angle, which means just a lot more arc to it, the upright putter, it was just a very unnatural stroke. And then when I take the flat putter and put it on the lesser arced rail setting, it felt like I was, you know, hooding or actually swinging outside in, you know, because it, when you have a flat lie angle, you have a steeper arc, and when you have a shallow lie angle, the natural arc is, or when you have an upright putter, the natural arc is shallower. And I think that's one of the things you see that made the broomstick putters so popular. It was very shallow. If there's such a thing as straight back, straight through, your best luck, I guess, in achieving that would be with a 90 degree putter. So USGA requires that you're 10 degrees off that. So max lie angle would be 80 degrees. And that's a very shallow arc, maybe 4.2 to 4 to 6 degrees, depending on the length. So that's kind of, you know, that was the initial foundation of thinking and how I, you know, kind of figured that out just through messing out a club repair tour trailer. And I'd done work for, I don't know, probably 30 PGA Tour players, at, you know, various events. And they all have different lie angles. There are very few people are very, you know, real upright, like 74, 75. I find that most of the tour players and really good putters are somewhere between 70 and, I don't know, 67. I mean, there's a few guys who are up at 71, 72. And that's usually when they have a claw grip or something like that. So the once I kind of, you know, I was thinking about that, and the real story is I missed a Monday qualifier for the Reno Tahoe Open. I hit 17 greens in regulation and shot even par. I was very, very disappointed in my putting performance. So I took an old face balanced putter and cut the grip off and put a long extension in it and then bent it forward. There's an old putter called the Cobra Tricep Putter. You can look it up on Google. And it was the end of the grip would actually, you could twist it off. It had a real long 21 inch grip on it. And the concept would be to run it through your hands and then outside your left arm where your tricep is, and it would lock, and it would prevent any wrist motion. Technical terms would be extension flexion in the putting stroke. So it really provides a one piece stroke. And because I didn't have a grip on it, I was able to, you know, lock it outside, and it was on my shirt, which was, you know, just a cotton shirt, kind of slippery, and there was no grip on it. And as I made the strokes and I relaxed my hands, the putter kept flipping open. And that was really kind of like, this is supposed to be balanced to be square back, square through. And I was a little offset, you know, thinking, well, that's just not working like that. I've got to keep the putter face square with my hands. So therefore, how are we actually telling people that a face balanced putter is balanced to be straight back, straight through, or remain square to the arc? And at that point in time, I was thinking back when I started my golf career. I'll give him a little shout out. It's an old B&G Golf and Tennis in Brookfield, Wisconsin. That was probably, I think it was 87 or 88. There was a putter that we had in the shop that our director of instruction had, you know, sitting in the corner for his lessons, and it was called the positive putter. And I think the positive putter was touted at the time to be balanced to remain square to the target line, not the arc. So the arc changes. And I said, well, so in theory, this putter would be hooding or closing to the arc and then square and then opening to the arc. And I thought, well, that's got to be some sort of manipulated stroke, because if the body is moving the putter in an arc, whatever that arc may be, in theory, you'd want the toe and the heel of the putter or the face angle to remain at a right angle to the arc when it's in motion. And so I started cutting into some old mallet, aluminum big mallet putters. I cut the hosel off, and then I said, well, if I drill a hole, you know, if I could locate the CG, which I did, just through a standard little balance test on the end of a pencil, I said, all right, well, I'm gonna drill a hole here. And as I drilled the hole, the drill bit walked itself out towards the toe just a little bit before it bit into the top line. I said, gosh darn it, you know. I drilled the hole anyways. So anyway, long story short, I put this putter in the play the next day and putted great. And I told my buddies, I said, look at this thing staying square by itself. And they thought, you know, you're crazy. And so I took that and I came home and I said, well, I'm going to show people that it's staying square. So it came to me one night, and I just went in my garage and got a big stick out of the garage and a bracket and a hook. And I suspended the putter so that people could see without any friction that the putter was going to do whatever it's going to do. The first revealer, which is what I use to display putters and how they balance, was actually a stick. And then I modified a crutch. And I said, I think I'm onto something here. So when I took that and went into SolidWorks, one of the guys that I gave lessons to owns a piston company, Scott Soprizio, and we sat down and I said, you know what, let's make this thing. I think this is great. And so we engineered the revealer, and then through time, once I had a good working revealer, I realized that I could speed up or slow down the rotational properties of a head to match the arc that a given line angle and length is going to produce. And so I tested it. I'd just take lead tape and I'd move it around the head, and eventually I said, God, I think I can quantify this and patent this. And so one thing led to the next. I found some good information I looked up on just on physics and radian endpoints and all that jazz, and I created the basic formula. And then I took that to a mathematical engineer, and of course they rewrote it and they told me what was really going on. And so there's some alpha angles and all this other stuff. Anyway, so we got the patent issued after a couple of years, and we really just took off. Getting into the Golf WRX 5-star review, 5 out of 5 review, and then nominated for the Golf Digest Hot List, and did the PGA show last year and won some nice awards there. So it's really been...
So Bill, that's a fascinating story about how you just figured this out. I mean, it's amazing. And just so the audience knows, the way you described this putter to me when we first started talking, it's the world's first putter designed to be faced lie angle balanced. And lie angle balance is defined as a putter's ability to stay square to the arc through which it travels in a stroking motion in the playing position without human interference. In other words, you basically set it up and stroke it, and the face stays square to the path, which is just arguably the most significant and innovative property I've seen in putting in my career. And I know that when I set it up, it's amazing that I can just stroke it and the ball just rolls dead on line. And it's changed my whole concept of putting. I mean, I'm an old school arc putter, kind of a strong arc putter. And I just, I was fascinated when I heard about this, and then to get my hands on one, it's just completely changed my whole game. I mean, the first time I went out, had 11 putts in 9 holes, and I haven't done that since I was a kid. So tell the audience about a little bit more about this putter and the process.
Yeah, so the arc, as you said, will change, I'm sure that you've used some flat putters and some upright putters, and they always produce different arcs. You can't take a real upright putter and swing it on a steep arc; it doesn't feel natural. And vice versa. So basically dating back to an old putter called the positive putter, it was probably the first toe-up putter. It never took off. There was something wrong with it as far as its stability. So what I wanted to do was say, all right, well, I'm gonna make a putter that stays at a right angle to the arc in my 30 something years in the golf business. I've never seen a putter that stays square to different arcs and it's fitted. You know, we bend a putter and we do all that, but we never change, we never quantify things. So if there's, I'm not a real tall guy, so I use 67, 33 inch putter, and we could go find Ernie Els or somebody like that, real tall guy, he's not going to have the same arc as I do. So what I wanted to do was figure out, let's make a putter that balances to the arc, not the target line, but the arc itself, so that it stays square at rest and it stays square in motion to the arc. And since the putter swings in two dimensions, it has a flat arc and then it has an upright arc, or the combination of those is what the industry would refer to as D-plane. And the plane of different players changes in putting, just like it does with different swing planes. And that creates different rotation speeds. So I just figured out how to make a putter that does that without any outside influence from your hands. And that solves a lot of problem for people that are using too many muscles in their hands, what we call quick twitch, or what some people refer to as small muscles. They're just very unpredictable. And you know, you see people that have yips, where they, you know, they jab the toe of the putter, or they shove the heel through and stuff right. like that. And it's just, if you have a putter that's USGA conforming, that stays square by itself, why aren't you using it?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, and it, now that I understand it all, I realize that all the non-lie angle balanced putters that I've ever used, the face instantly became unsquare when the putter was lifted off the ground and put in motion. And so absolutely. I had to manipulate path all the time, unless the muscles in my hands, wrists, and forearms were working that day. I would, you know, I just frustrating to hit balls offline. I mean, and you know, even though you could stand on the driving range and the putting green and practice all forever and then get out there and just, you know, face is so important to directional crow. It controls, you know, 85 to 90% of all putter direction is based on where the face points when you hit it. And it was just, you know, when you have to manipulate to square it back up at impact, it just phenomenal that no one figured this out before you. Kudos, Bill.
Yeah, I was a little surprised myself, actually. It just it was a process of tweaking and then figuring it out. And you know, the real science came, I guess the real success came when I invented this revealer, which lets a putter, you know, spin freely, and you can put it in a playing position and actually make putts with it and not touch it. And it only takes, and this is how precise this is, Gaylord. If I take 1 gram, which is basically about the weight of a dollar bill, and I put 1 gram of weight on the heel or the toe or the flange of the putter, the directed force putter, it will not stay square. It'll do better than most, but it won't actually stay square to the arc as it is put in the motion, especially if you're hitting like a 60-foot putt. When you put more acceleration or more speed into your backswing transition and follow through, there's more forces applied to the head, and it literally, it's about a gram that throws it off. So when people get our putter and they want to say, well, can we bend it? No. It's just, it's so finely tuned that once you get fitted and we build the putter, you know, all the putters are handmade, forged, and then CNC machined, and then anodized, and then we get them drilled to the proper line. Go, we don't bend anything. All the hosels or the whole shaft hole is drilled to the exact specifications of the player. And then we build the putter, then we weight it, and then we balance it, grip it, and ship it.
Yeah, it's and talk about the grip, Bill. I was fascinated when I got mine, and it had the forward shaft, almost the forward press was already built in to the grip. And I know you've got that patented as well.
Yeah, that was a real shocker that in 400 and some years, I don't know how long the patent office has been around, but, you know, America was built on innovation. And it's strangely enough is that the U.S. patent office and innovation is what really made America strong and big and a lot of innovation. And I searched for months and all the old archives, and being a master club repairman, I think I've seen almost every putter made that was produced, and I've seen a ton of homemade grips, and not in my entire life that I realized that nobody's ever made an elliptical shaped grip or just a round grip that's parallel walled, that the shaft tilts through the grip, so your hands are straight up and down, but the shaft is leaned towards the target. It was unbelievable to me that nobody ever patented that.
Yeah, and, it's just phenomenal. When you see one of Bill's putters and you put your hands on it, it's amazing. It's like all I have to do is just grip it and just move. I mean, no conscious effort with my hands, arms, anything. I just see the putt, see the line, and put it in motion, and bam, it just tracks right where I'm aiming. I mean, it's amazing.
I want to throw this out there. One of the reasons why we use the elliptical shape is that the brain and the mind, when we have irons, you probably remember this, is that some of the old clubs had this flat reminder at the top of the left grip. And that was a really, really good, it was too good. The USGA banned it. But when you have a round surface or a cylinder and you close your eyes and you spin it and you say, okay, where's the face? Well, you have no target awareness or no face awareness. However, that's one of the reasons why we start putting a flat side on the grip, so that your thumbs could kind of feel where the face is at. The problem with a flat grip when you're making a putting stroke is that, and I can't remember who did it, but it's been proven, it might even be Pels or Adele or somebody like that, that when you put a flat side on the grip, the face of the putter tends to close to the arc on the way back, because your brain and your eyes are saying, all right, I want to keep this flat side parallel to my target line. Well, the putter's working in an arc, so essentially you're swinging it in an arc, but you're hooding it, squaring it, and then fanning it. So the interesting thing about the press grip is it's an ellipse. And so when you have an elliptical shape, the long axis, or the longest, widest part of the grip, is parallel or perpendicular to the face, parallel to the target line. But there's no flat side. So when you take my grip, or take one of even our putter, or you put a press grip on another putter, you can take and close your eyes, and then you can open your eyes back up, and you'll be dead on. Without a flat side. Now, by doing that, it allows some target awareness, but it also allows the palms to let the putter work, the face of the putter work in an arc. We don't want to promote, a bunch of fanning and all that stuff, but when the putter starts moving, you don't want to hood it and then square it and then fan it. You just want to let the toe of the putter and the heel of the putter stay at a right angle to the arc. So by doing the elliptical shape, it gave room to tilt the shaft through the grip on the long axis. So now your hands can be directly over the ball in a vertical position, and you have forward shaft lean already built in.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it helps me aim too. I mean, I've always forward pressed before I've released the putter, and that's old school. But now it's just I set up, and it's almost like the ball. How critical is ball position in putting? It's always been very critical with the old style putters, and with this putter, I seem to set it up in the same position every time. I'm not, if you're a half inch or a quarter inch too far back, and you've got a heel shafted, arc putter, and if you got it a little too far back, you shove it to the right. If you get a little too far forward, you can pull putts, and you're constantly trying to manipulate the ball into the hole. And I just found in my day, I used to just look at the hole when I was close to it, and trust that I'd put the face toward the hole when I hit it, because and I got to that point where I was just staring at the hole. With this putter, it's just instinctive that I set it. It seems to just set up in the same spot every time.
There's a good reason. That's a really good comment. One of the things that we have on the directed force putter is an identifiable sole plate. And that means that when you lay the putter on the ground, it wants to sit flat. And if you just relax, so when you let go of a lot of other putters and you put them in a play position and you relax them, let's just say you take and you put them on your kitchen floor, a hardwood floor or something, there's no sole plate, so they tend to hood over, or you don't know when you're sold out because a lot of companies were putting a lot of radius to give relief. But then the problem is that you don't know when the putter sold out, and it becomes kind of a dance between your hands and your grip pressure and your ball position to where you're, you know, when you're actually flat. And so that's why I think, and I kid you not, there's probably 95% of the players that come to me to get fitted, remote fitting or with a fitting system, 95%, maybe 90-95%, they putt with the toe of the putter up. And so then since there's loft on the face, the loft of the putter is actually aimed left. So then they get used to reading greens differently, and or they have a tendency to lean the putter so far forward so that it has zero loft to get the ball started online. And they just tend to aim right. And I think there's been, you've probably seen them, you know, all the fitting you do, the majority of players aim the putter right of the target. And I think it's simply because they've never been fitted right, and they instinctively have compensated and been conditioned, classically conditioned by their equipment to aim the putter right and make a manipulated stroke. You see a lot of SAM Lab reports where there's, you know, a lot of good players are actually slightly closed when they come through from when they started. And I think that's right. Just, it's that easy. With the directed force putter, because it is equally front to back, heel toe length, actually it's slightly shorter front to back than it is heel toe, and that's why it's conforming. But when you set it out on the grass, you instantly know where your ball position should be. And I think when I see people first use it, they put the ball in the middle of their stance instead of under their, you know, left armpit or their left ear, left eye, because that's right. Really where the bottom of the arc is. It's not center. It's actually forward.
Exactly. And I mean, I set up in my full swing, my hands just left of my cheek for every shot in golf, and I do the same with that putter, and it's perfect, right. And it's instinctive, and I didn't know about but that makes total sense, that it just sits flat, and right. The hands are perfect, and they're forward press. There's a slight forward press, in with the grip, and it's just been phenomenal for me. It's changed everything about my game. And you know, to be able to miss a green and get it up there 6 feet and make most of those it's a great feeling, Bill. And man, I love it.
Yeah, thanks.
So, yeah, it's
amazing. we get a lot of good feedback from players that you know, switch to it, and you know, at first, you know, they're like, wow, this is really. It took me a while, you know, to figure it out, and I just I tell people, I said, the putter itself, because of its balance and then geometry of the head, the forward lean of the shaft, the tilt in the grip, the shape of the grip, what the putter is doing is getting you back to zero. Exactly. And zero, in my opinion, the greatest putters are pendulum type strokes. And when you take a pendulum and you tilt it on an inclined plane, or what golf calls a lie angle, it makes an arc. And so you want to impact slightly forward of bottom so that you have a little bit of rise, what we call angle of ascent, right. Basically hitting up on the putt, but without increasing the loft. And that's why the grip is tilted, the shaft tilts through the grip, so it allows a level or slight upstroke without increasing the loft of the putter.
That's amazing too, because that is the proper stroke pattern is to kind of just past the bottom of the arc, and you catch it a little bit. And the problem with you know, we developed at Henry Griffiths, you know, I've been with them forever. We developed the first real putter fitting system. We worked with Chuck Hogan down in Phoenix, and David Dale got on board and helped make the heads for us originally. And all because of Randy Henry assembled all these people. And so David Dale spent time with Randy and learned a lot from Randy. And so lie angle is so critical with irons. It's critical with putters. But we began to realize that people do aim a lot to the right. And then there's others that aim to the left. And
Right.
The style of the putter, you know, we worked on hosel designs and lines on the putter and things. And just to get them, we figured if that we could get them aiming at least dead where they, where they're supposed to be, they could become a better putter. And that was as good as we could get. I mean, fixing the lie angle, fixing the hosel design, you know, the length of the putter. And then once the, once we got the customer back into the hole when they aimed, then it was critical to, you know, we had to find out where the ball best ball position was for it. And it was just a complicated process. And in this thing, you just set it, you just grab it, walk up and go. And there's no manipulation. I mean, I've had people check my aim with this thing and I am dead center of the cup every time. And I had a tendency to aim way left my entire career and knew it. And, you know, I would constantly be, I'd block it in the hole for a couple rounds and then I'd start overcooking that and I'd miss right. And then I'd pull it back in for a couple rounds and I'd start missing left. And it was just a frustrating process. And, you know, I was so fascinated when when Matt Holmes called me and told me about this putter. And I immediately, you know, understood exactly what the process, I mean, what this could do for me. And I just was praying it would work. And, you know, I got mine in and damn, if it just didn't take care of almost everything, man, I just, it's just amazing.
I mean, yeah, I never wanted to band-aid stuff. And as you know, you look back in history and putters, and there's a lot of really critical thinkers and people that spent a lot of time and effort, you know, bringing their ideas to the market. And there's only been a couple putters that really sold out well. And one of them was the old Stealth stand-up putter. I mean, it stands up. It's got an identifiable sole plate. That's why it stands up. And there's, you know, there's been a couple others, but not too many, because they, a lot of putters, they have these rocker radius sole plates on them. So how does the player really know, you know, where zero is? And so it was very important to me in my design, just like woods, you know, you can never sole an iron out and put it on a hardwood floor and relax it. It'll never stay square. But really good drivers and really good persimmon woods, the sole plate was dead nuts. And so you could take and lay it on the ground and take your left hand, or your right, you come into address position, and the club sits there. And one of those, which was really kind of modern, was the old TaylorMade. What was it, the R1? It had that red adjustable back flange riser thing on it. And that was a genius idea. I mean, that was a really good idea because that actually changed the face angle. Not just the shaft angle and the hosel angle, but when you can change a sole plate, you can change face angle. So in putting, zero is good. And then condition yourself to aim it right. And that's my thesis. I don't like band-aids. I don't want people aiming, you know, different places with different stuff. So I just made a very simple, identifiable sole plate. And when you set it out on a green and you let it rest, you come in, it sits square. It takes no manipulation. And you literally just set up to the putter. Let the putter set you into the right address position.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for all you listeners out there, you need to get your hands on one of these and experiment around with it. And right now, Bill, how would someone that was interested in getting more information on the putter, first thing they do is probably go to the website?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, what I, you know, being the inventor and stuff, I always, my curiosity gets me. So a lot of times I like to go on the internet and just Google directed force putters, see what pops up. I know there's a ton of reviews out there. We have our Facebook page. We're getting a lot more active on Instagram, Twitter, but directedforce.com is our website. And we keep it pretty clean. It's a pretty straightforward website. You have the information that you need. But a lot of the reviews we do on our Facebook page, and there's been a ton of those there. Golf WRX did a big review on it. I think...
yeah, I read that one. It was really good.
Yeah, they did a real comprehensive review. And then, of course, in January, we were early this year, we were nominated to make it into the Golf Digest hot list, and so we submitted our putters, and they will not release the hot list until January, a couple days before the PGA Orlando show. So we'll find out if we actually made it into the gold or silver awards in January, but it was still quite an honor to even be included into the hot list, being a small startup company, handmade putters. You know, we've got a very dedicated crew, not a big operation, but we can make a lot of putters. And so to get nominated, you know, get a call from Golf Digest without being a big OEM was a pretty fun deal, actually. I got a kick out of that.
Now that it's so important to get the proper fitting for your putter, and I saw online how you can actually do it yourself. And,
right.
And so if they went to the website, there's an explanation on how they could actually find out what their lie angle is and what their proper length is, and that would give you the ability to build that putter and send it to them.
Yes, and in order for us to grow, what I really wanted to do was come up with a way, invent another way to fit. And you know, when you only have one chance to start a putter company. And so it was important for me. I have a fitting putter, which telescopes and adjusts lie angle and length and right and left-handed players. But there's a lot of people that are far, far away that are not going to be able to get to one of our authorized fitting centers. So being with Golf Tech for many years, I worked with a lot of, you know, neat software. And it came to me one day, I said, well, you know what? What if I can find Plum and have somebody send me a video with the camera just held, you know, about just below the kneecap and slightly inside the line, have a friend or family member just take a video. And then I said, well, what does everybody have in the everyday life almost everywhere they go that's Plum? And it's a door jamb, you know, assuming that you have a decent carpenter. Or a door opens and closes smoothly, then the door is Plum. That's gravity. That's not going to change. I don't care if it's, you know, in Australia or the United States. Gravity is gravity. And so if a door is Plum, and I can just get a little video of you wearing your golf shoes and a 5 to 10 second video, then I can take that, so the door jam is zero, and then I measure from the door jam to your shaft angle, and by golly, it works like a charm. I mean, it's amazing how accurate it is. And so what really helped us grow and get through our first couple years was the ability to sell putters all over the world. I've fitted people that sent me video from South Korea, the UK, Germany, Spain, Australia. It's amazing the videos I get. And I'm sitting here, you know, in my office or at home in the evening, and I'm analyzing remote fitting videos, and I'm saying, it still kind of blows my mind. I'm like, I'm fitting this guy from 8,000 miles away.
Cool that you can do that with a putter.
Yeah, you know, and so once I know the length of the putter in the video, and we talk, you know, sometimes it takes an email or two, but to date, I don't think that I've had one customer, and this is thousands of remote fittings, say that they were not accurately fitted. And it's taken off like crazy, like wildfire. And the remote fitting is super easy. So the listeners out there that want to check out remote fitting, you know, just in a nutshell, it's $30, and you go online, you buy the remote fitting that gives you the code, and then you email the video, and then when you buy the putter, we refund you that $30, so your fitting doesn't cost a dime. And most people do it from the comfort of their own home or their office, or they'll go into the pro shop and have one of the golf professionals take their smartphone, take a quick video, and they love it. It's nobody likes, and don't get me wrong here, but you and I have both fitted a lot of golf sets of golf clubs, and it gets it gets monotonous when you want to buy a set of irons and a driver, and it's taking an hour and a half, 2 hours to get fitted. I mean, it's just a long time. Well, you know, in fitting putters, here's what I need. I need the length, the lie angle, the grip size, and do you like it heavy, medium, or light? That's it. That's all we need. And so the remote fitting's been fantastic. Cool. Of course, if you do want to get fitted, I always recommend that you go on the website and get to our locator. We have accounts all over the United States. I mean, we're growing new accounts literally every day. There's a bunch of New York, Florida, California, Nevada. I lost track.
So we have one here in Vegas. Tim's here in Vegas, and I use the Revealer.
Yep.
And I had, you know, another putter, which I won't name, that I really putted pretty well with. It really had zero loft. And you know which one I'm talking about. It came out of Arizona. And really, when I put it in the Revealer, I realized now it enabled me. It did swing in a perfect elliptical arc, but the face didn't remain square to it. So I still had to, make sure my ball position was right. And with zero loft, it was very hard to putt from off the green. So it just, you know, there were so many different things I tried. I mean, I have the stand-up putters, several different models of them, Bill. And, and I used to stand it up on the green and walk around and make sure it was aimed right. And then walk around, I'd get over it and look at it, and it looked like it was way left. And I just, you know, I just couldn't do it. So, to have a putter that takes care of that puts you at zero, as you mentioned, is just an amazing concept. And I know you're working on some different head designs. At first, I was a little leery about the head design, but I mean, it just took, you know, that first nine holes and 11 putts to realize I can look at this thing forever.
Yeah.
So a lot of people kind of look at it as a little weird. It's like kind of a branding iron, but you know what? Innovation is what it's all about, and kudos to you. You've taken something that has been available for centuries to figure out, and you figured it out and created a putter design that would stay square to the arc and without any, you know. The cool thing is just, you know, I can just kind of relax my muscles in my hands and arms and just stroke it now. I don't have to worry about I used to stare at the path to make sure, you know, I don't have to look at anything now. I aim it and you know, let it go. And crap, if I read it, it goes in the hole. It's crazy. I mean,
yeah, you know, just quickly about the shape of the putter. There's reasons for that outside, you know, the laws of physics.
Absolutely.
You know, the footprint needs to be stable. So we use heel toe weighting and front back weighting, and that creates a really high moment of inertia. But that little hole, and your listeners, hopefully they look at the design of the putter and they're, well, that's odd. Well, that hole in the back of the putter, first of all, it's a ball scoop, so you can scoop the ball up. Your partners will get sick of making you, you know, putt out 2 and 3 footers, and eventually they'll just say, pick it up, it's good. But anyways, there's the bean-shaped hole. You put two golf balls in the back of that putter when you're out on the practice green, and you start making some strokes. And if you maintain a good tempo and maintain your speed and your hands are right, you can hit, you know, 20, 30 foot putts, and the two golf balls will stay in the back of the putter. If you get quick with your transition, or you flip your hands at the ball and the club face get to the ball before your hands get back to their address position, the balls will not stay in the back. And that's kind of the beginner, I wouldn't say beginner, but that's the first drill. And then when you get really good at that, then you take one golf ball in the back, and then you lean the putter way back so that the flange is on the ground, the face is way up in the air, and the one golf ball will center itself in the back of the putter. And then you just lean it forward. And then if you put the toe up, it'll basically, if you do anything wrong, the one golf ball drill is a much more advanced and precise drill. And before I go out to play, I do the one ball drill just to the fringe roll some 5-footers and then 10-footers and then 15-footers. And if you can keep the one golf ball from moving in the back of the bean-shaped hole, then you know that you're making a stellar stroke. Stellar stroke.
Yeah. I've taken some of my students, some of my high school kids that we got to get into putter, obviously. But, you know, at this point, you know, being kids, it's a matter of convincing the parents. But I give them my putter, and when I, because their stroke patterns are crazy sometimes. And I put the two balls in. Once they get that going, I put one ball in. And yeah. It's amazing to see, hand them their putter back. And, you know, being kids, I mean, they don't, you know, they just putt it and go get it. And but to be able to show them where they're, you know, that they're decelerating or their tempo's bad, or they're moving, you know, because if you move slightly, move your head, you know, the balls are going to adjust. And so it's just an amazing tool just to get your tempo and pace. And I've used the same drill before. Before I go out and play, and it's really comforting to know. And even if I rush out, you know, with the guys, you know, in between lessons to play a few holes, I get on the first green, I got the ball in there, and I'm rolling a few, just getting my tempo down. And then it's just a matter of setting up and letting it go. You get two things in one, Bill, with your putter. You get an amazing, innovative putter, and you get a training aid. I mean, it's
The putter works. There's no doubt about it. We've been really lucky to have a couple tour players recently actually buy putters. You know, I would have given them a putter, but they just bought them. So, and since we last talked, Gaylord, I want you to know that I've taken and made some YouTube videos. And if you go onto YouTube and you just do a search for directed force putters, you'll see I've put 5 new videos up. I'm going to put some more putting videos up, instruction videos. What I think my preference or my methodology of a proper address position, spine angle, head position, stroke. And I'm just starting to really have the time now to get back into, you know, my passion, which is really teaching. And I do love club design and tinkering with my shop. But
I love club fitting too, but man, teaching's where it's at.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of your videos, Bill, and they're amazing. I mean, I would encourage anybody that wants to putt better to head over to the Directed Force YouTube videos and watch them. I saw, you know, your first two you posted on Facebook, and I was fascinated by them. I'm a teacher, but I'm also, I know that if I stop learning, if I stop sharing my knowledge, then, I mean, who else? I mean, we're the mentors, Bill. I mean, I'm in my 60s now, and doing this for 35 years, and I had some great mentors. And, you know, it's just to share the wealth of knowledge that we have accumulated being golf professionals. And to do something on YouTube is phenomenal. And I'm going to go check them out for sure.
Just keep it simple. You know, there's a couple basic things, and you see a lot of a lot of complex stuff. And you know, when you've seen some of my videos, and I'm a very simple person. You know, I teach simple when I teach in full swing. And so when I'm getting into doing more instructional videos with Directed Force now, I like to relate things and eliminate variables. So one of the videos that you saw, I put 3 rulers on the wall. All I did was eliminate spine angle. And so that people could perceive it. And so it's not so confusing. You know, and then you can add spine angle and all that stuff. But sometimes when you see things, and that's one of the signs, you know, that we really top instructors can say the same thing 20, 30 different ways. And keeping it simple, kissing it is just really something that I enjoy seeing when I can take something really complex, like putting, like Directed Force putters. If you look at my patents, they are extremely complex, but the end result is lay it down, get fit, and hit it. It's there. It's very simple, but there's a lot of complexities behind the scenes.
It works. Yeah, you know, I'm the same way. I mean, balance is the key fundamental in all things in life, and so balance in the golf swing is a function of you know, just creating a proper motion and using the body properly. And I think
most people don't know how to even use the tool, and so consequently they come at the game with bad information. And just clearing up and letting them know why the ball goes left, right, and straight, and the importance of transferring the weight and just getting and finishing in balance. I mean, just simple things like that can improve so many people. And the fact that you have made a putter and designed a very innovative putter that you can literally just, once it's fit to you, you can just set up and stroke it and just go get it and hit it again. I mean, there's you know, I don't have to spend, you know, hours every week or changing putters constantly trying to find one that's going to make the ball go in the hole, for Christ's sake. I mean, if you looked in my garage over the last 30 years, there's been 400 or 500 different putters gone in and out of that garage. And,
right.
You know, in the search for the perfect stroke, and in reality, my first 15 years, I didn't know where I was aiming. And then when I figured that out, then I was able to get putters that at least I could aim at the target. And then it was a function of how, you know, do I belly putter? Do I crosshand? Do I overhand? I mean, I just grabbed the thing, and that elliptical putter fits perfectly in the palms of my hand. And it's just amazing. And it's tacky. It's great. I mean, again, listen, audience, if you don't at least experiments with a directed force putter or get your hands on one, I think you're missing out on one of the most innovative things that's come along for putting since I've been playing golf. And as Bill says on his website, since 1750, I can't imagine, you know, just how the process of how you figured this out and decided, I'm going to do this thing. It's amazing. And all the success in the world, man.
Thanks. Yeah, it's purely out of desperation to improve my own game.
I hear you. You know, and I've been playing nothing but finest off. I mean, you know, Henry Griffiths, I've been playing their equipment forever. So I my swing is developed with proper fit equipment. So my feedback's fundamental. And the problem with putting is, I mean, you can, if you're not getting good feedback, and if every day, you know, if the hands get a little twitchy or if the ball position gets out of place, I mean, you can have a horrible day on the greens and really not much changed. And, you know, to be able to just to set up and go and not have to worry about, am I aiming it right? Am I, you know, is my arc good? Am I too inside and or too close? Or am I hooding it and opening it? What, you know, I've tried face balance. I've tried heel. I mean, I know I'm an arc putter, and I have been since I was a kid. And yet I was desperate enough to try just about anything, belly putters, long putters. You know, it's frustrating when you hit 17 greens and you have 36 putts and you shoot even par. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. There's nothing. Just about Henry Griffiths and directed force, we really, one of the greatest quotes from the Henry Griffiths team was something I heard a while back, and it was, what's the fastest way to change somebody's golf swing? And it's to give them a different tool. And and that is something that I didn't see this coming, but I cannot tell you how many testimonials and people I've literally watched change. They put a directed force putter in their bag, the yips go away, and they actually change, the putter changes their stroke to what it should be, which is just a standard pendulum stroke. I've had guys that throw the toe of the putter, and they do all sorts of crazy things. I give them the revealer and the directed force putter. I say, go take the revealer, because now you can't touch the putter, and just swing it at the hole. And then their eyes start to see what the putter is supposed to do. And since most people are visual learners, then when they put the putter back in their hands do what their eyes want the putter, what they want to see. And it's really been, you know, Henry Griffiths, and I didn't create this, but if you want to change somebody's stroke for the better, give them a better tool. And it needs to be fitted, needs to be balanced. And if you ask me, the reason why the word yip even exists is because putters were not made to stay square. So then people were manipulating, still to this day, trying to keep the putter face square, which if you don't, you're not a golf or playing professional, to maintain that level of muscle control takes a lot of maintenance. I mean, daily, hours, every day. Yeah.
As some of our great players got older, they lost their strokes.
Gone.
Just totally. I mean, I'm prime example. As I got older, I started, I just didn't have, I always thought it was just nerves, or I'd seen so many missed putts that I was, you know, when you're sitting over a putter now with this directed force putter, I have total confidence that I can get it. I mean, I can hit it where I'm aiming. And that in itself is just the confidence. You know, it's like at Henry Griffiths, one of our mottos was, we deliver confidence. Okay. We build you a golf club to the highest specs, fit to your motion, fit to reward you if you make a good balanced motion. And so we deliver confidence. And I'm going to tell you what, directed force putters will deliver confidence, because once you get over that thing and understand it and see what it does and stroke it a few times and allow everything to relax and just go, it builds confidence in your putting. So again, kudos, Bill. I mean, you know, you've delivered confidence in my putting game with your putter design. And let the people know one more time, Bill, we're running out of time, where they can get a hold of you. And obviously, you can, I'm going to put a link up at my site, at vegasgolfcoach.com.
There's a couple ways. You know, you can always email me at bill@directedforce.com. You can go to info@directedforce, our website. Just contact us. A lot of the emails will get go through our customer service department, and then if they're addressed specifically to me, then they'll get forwarded to me. And I do my best to respond in a timely manner. Facebook, Directed Force Putters on Facebook is a great way to get hold of us. We put a lot of our new stuff and exciting news up on our Facebook page, and then of course my personal Facebook page, Bill Pressey the Fourth. Send me a friend request. You know, that's my personal Facebook page, but I put a lot of neat stuff up on my personal Facebook page that doesn't make the Directed Force page. Simply, you know, just prototype stuff that I'm messing around with. You've obviously seen some of my antics on Facebook and putters, and I have a good time with it. You know, you gotta have fun with it. You know, it's all about growing the game, and to me. Growing the game in my point in life right now means, you know, people shoot better scores, they have more fun, they enjoy it. And one of the fastest ways to shoot better scores is just make more putts. And that's what I do. Yeah. I just help people make more putts.
Yeah, I agree. Short, you know, making more putts is the key to everything. And it's the key on the tour. I mean, the guy that makes the most, that has the best putting round wins typically. And I got to tell you, it's put money in my pocket. The putter's paid for itself multiple times already.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. So, Bill, it's great to talk to you. And you need to get back down here and let's play some golf when my shoulder's not hurting.
I'd love to see you again. That was great. And I had a lot of fun really enjoyed myself. And you're a great host. You guys, all your listeners, if you're in Vegas, you need to get fitted. Go see Gaylord at Las Vegas Country Club.
And if you're in Vegas and you want to get directed, force putted, fitted by a professional here in town, Bill, you've got Tim Scopehammer and Timmy's here in town. I can get you.
We got Tim Scopehammer, and then you can get obviously you Spanish Trails Country Club.
Yep. So there you go. Well, Bill, it's been a pleasure. And I'll talk to you soon, and hopefully I'll see you out on the fairways and the greens.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. You take care.
You bet. We want to say goodbye and stay tuned for next episode, and maybe we'll have Bill back another time. We'll talk something else, Bill. But for now, go out and find a directed force putter. I highly recommend it.
Thank you.
Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to golfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and Anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. And you can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.